All right, go ahead and grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Psalm 5, one of the earliest psalms in the hymn book today, written by David. And we're going to talk about asking God, things we should ask God about. To me, in my experience, when you go to a place you've never been before, you have three options. There may be more, but I've narrowed it down to three options. You're somewhere you've never been before. You can get somebody as a tour guide, a paid professional who can lead you around and tell you all the facts about the place you've been. Or you can go with a friend who's been there before, and they can kind of give you not as good of a guide, but you know, a little bit of information on where you've been. Or there's a third option. You can just go and kind of wander around aimlessly and discover on your own the place you've been. By the grace of God, I have been able to travel a lot of cool places. I've preached in a lot of cool places. I've led trips in places like Athens, not Georgia, Athens, Greece, and the Sea of Galilee and Jerusalem. I've taken trips to Auckland, New Zealand, and Puerto Rico, and London. And I've been to all the cool parks in the country, and museums, and holy sites, and tourist places. And this may not surprise you, but I've tried to do most of those without guides, because I just like wandering around and discovering on my own, especially when I'm some spiritual place. I like to be in that thin place between history and present and kind of feel the presence of God there. I don't know about you. How many of you guys, when you go somewhere you've never been before, you prefer to hire a tour guide? You can hire a real live one. You can get a book. You can get an audio guide. There's people who know about the stuff you've been, where you've been, and you can hire a guide. How many of you are more inclined just to go with a friend and let them kind of guide you along? How many of you just say, I don't need a stinking tour guide? How many of you guys say, right? Mostly, most of us are there. You guys are falling right into this sermon so perfectly. Thank you. I think there's something probably in men. You know, men have a reputation for not wanting anybody to guide us around and tell us where to go. And so that's one of those reasons we never stop and ask for directions. When my wife reminds me that I'm lost, I go, I'm not lost. I'm just exploring. I'm discovering a new way to get there. Nobody ever says about Christopher Columbus that he got lost going to India. He discovered the new world. Okay, so that's kind of my quest too. But I know that I'm going to miss some cool stuff. When I'm on a tour in some place, I know if I don't have a tour guide who knows the stuff, I know I'm going to miss some facts about Mount Olympus or, you know, the Greek Colosseum or all those different things. But I also know that I'm not going to have to listen to a bunch of stuff I don't want to listen to. But here's the thing, and I want to get to some spiritual insight today, because I think that myself, maybe some of you, we have a tendency to want to do life without our tour guide. We have a tendency to want to do life on our own. Or maybe we listen to some friends who are going through the same stage of life that we're in, and we take their advice. But mostly, a lot of us in here, I think, just like to wander around and figure it out. And the problem is that this question about who's guiding your life is more important than whether or not you're a tour guide person on a trip somewhere, because missing the terraced houses in Ephesus or getting lost in Athens is way different than missing the point in life and being lost eternally. So today we come to this series called Asking God. This is the coolest thing in the world. The Lord of the universe said, hey, I want you, I command you to ask stuff of me. I want you to talk to me and ask. But sometimes we get that mixed up. What should we ask for? This next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about the things that biblically in the book of Psalms we should ask for. And the first thing we're going to find today is that David is saying, Lord, lead me. So let's read Psalm 5 together. Verse 8 will be our focal point. This idea that God wants us to ask him to lead. Chapter 5, verse 1 of the Psalms. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in the fear of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there's no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is self-destruction. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing for joy spread before and spread your protection over them, that they may love your name and exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Would you join me and ask the Lord to speak to us about asking him to lead us today? God, we know just intuitively, even those of us who really haven't professed faith in your son Jesus yet, we just know that you have to know the way. If you're God, you have to know the way. But sometimes, stubbornly, I confess for me and for these people that we like to go our own way and wander around and figure it out. God, would you teach us how to pray better? Would you teach us the things that you really want us to ask for? Can we see your heart today in this psalm? Lord, I pray if there's people today wandering around aimlessly, that they would find their way in your son Jesus, and that your word would lead us there. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. When it comes to asking God, I think the thing that we need to do is emulate David. We need to pray the prayer that he prayed. Verse 8 is the prayer, the verse that I want to focus on today. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. And I want to point out, because we just hosted the Global Leadership Summit here, and there were hundreds of leaders in this room the last couple of days. I want to point something out. We would all acknowledge that David was probably one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. He was a great leader. So even if you're here today and you're a leader, or you're smart, or you lead other people, you still need leadership. David is saying, Lord, lead me in your righteousness. And so today we're going to look at this idea of asking the Lord. What do we ask of God? Well, we ask him to lead. And it begins with verses 1 through 3. I just want to point this out. When should we ask him to lead us? Well, in the morning. Lead me today, Lord. Look what it says in verse 3. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning. That word for morning there literally means when the sun comes up. So Lord, when the sun comes up, you're going to find me in your presence saying, I want you to lead me. Now, if you just look across the page, most of your Bibles, in Psalm 4, Psalm 4, verse 4, look at this. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. And then look down in verse 8 of chapter 4. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. A lot of scholars believe that these two songs were intentionally placed, that Psalm 4 in the Jewish hymn book is a nighttime song. You sing it when you go to bed, so you can say the last things to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to sleep now, clear conscious, thanks for the day, see you tomorrow. And that Psalm 5 is a song that you sing early in the morning. You get up in the morning, you say, God, here we are, it's a new day, and the sun has risen, and so I want you to lead me through this day. I want you to see the sacrificial language that goes on here in verse 3 again. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you. Now, the literal translation in the Hebrew literally says, in the morning, I set in order for you. Now, the reason they translate it prepare a sacrifice is because in Leviticus 1:8, that same word is used of Levitical priests preparing the altar, putting the sacrifice on the altar. You know, it had to be done in a specific way. And so David is reminding us that there's a morning sacrifice for the Jewish people, and that's the time when he wants to utter his prayer before God. I believe there's a great lesson. This is not even the sermon. This is extra stuff that you get this morning, all right? I think there's a great lesson in that phrase, to set in order. I think it's important for us to get up every day, first thing in the morning, and set in order. Listen, there's never a bad time of the day to pray, okay? You're supposed to pray without ceasing. The Bible says pray all the time. Whenever you think of God or experience God or are aware of God's presence, as much as you can, talk to God all day long. But I think there's something special about getting up before God in the morning, doesn't have to be long, and saying to the Lord, Lord, I set in place some things. I set my life before you. I set my schedule before you. I set all my resources before you. I set my relationships before you. Lord, here's my morning altar. I want you to have it. I think that you and I need a morning ritual. One of the things I try to guard the most in my life, because, you know, my job, they pay me to be spiritual. It's my job as the pastor. One of my guarded things is that every morning I want to spend some time before the Lord saying, Lord, here it is. This is me. You got to help me today. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 gives us some good news about this God that we say, hey, we're saying today we want to ask him to lead us. Look what Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says. You can look it up later. Some of you are familiar with this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Think of this. If every day is filled with new ways, if every morning you wake up, God has created some new ways to show you his mercy and his grace, when do you think you should talk to him? I want to get at him early. I want to say, hey, Lord, I know that you have been so gracious. We even sing a song here that says, your grace is enough. The fact that he saved me on the cross, that's all I need. But today, he's figured out some new way to express his love and his mercy and his grace to us. Why would we not start our day off with him every morning? Here's the deal. When we begin a day without seeking God's direction, we're already on the wrong path. You ever done that? I have. Get up, it's late. Oh no, my alarm didn't go off. You're in the shower, you're throwing clothes on. Some people like me, you don't have to work your hair very much, but you have to be presentable. You rush into the day and you get to noon. You go, this has been a crappy day. Why? Because I've not even laid anything before the Lord. It's been me just wandering around life, trying to figure it out as I go. I think it's really important that we get the day started with God. And then I love this word that David says, and I think this is a missing part for a lot of us in our prayer lives. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice. I lay it before you, and I watch. How much watching do we do for the prayers that we pray? I think a lot of times we rush into our prayer and we have these rote prayers, dear God, bless my kids, dear God, bless this, dear God, fix this, help this, and we got a litany of things, and they're just kind of, dear God, bless this food, right? And we ask God for stuff, but we really don't expect him to do it in a specific way. We're not watching for him to do something. I want to have the kind of prayer life that when I ask God to send rain, I pick up my umbrella and take it to work with me, right? That's the kind of faith we're talking about. David says, Lord, I'm laying out my sacrifice on my day. I want you to lead me. Now I'm going to watch. Watching is a very important part of prayer. This word literally means to observe attentively. Not if God is going to answer Dave's request. Dave, he's my good friend Dave, King Dave. Sorry. David, we call him. David's request was not, he was not saying if God is going to answer. He's going, I know you're going to answer, so I'm going to ask you to lead me, and then I'm going to watch where you're leading. David's very specific about this. I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know that when you ask God to lead you, it's a very good prayer. Here's why, because God's a leading God. He wants to lead us. He wants to show us the way. In David's number one all-time hit single, 23, he says, he leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The Lord himself says in Isaiah 48:17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Here's the desire of the Lord's heart. He wants to lead you. He wants to get you to where you need to go. It's no surprise then that when Jesus shows up in the first century, about 1,000 years after this song was written, Jesus comes on the scene, and what are his first words to the people that he wants to recruit for his mission? Follow me. He says it to Peter and Andrew while they were fishing. He says it to Matthew as he collected taxes. He says it to Philip as he's sitting under a tree. We assume that he said to all of his disciples, follow me. This is why we have this as our vision statement. You guys, I hope you understand this. In the first century, there was a rabbi, teacher, and there was a disciple, mathetes, a learner, a pupil. And the way that smart guys did with people that they wanted to recruit, they would just simply say, follow me. This is how it works. This is called discipleship. Do you know in the New Testament, most of the time the church and the people who follow Jesus Christ in the book of Acts are called disciples. Only twice in the book of Acts are they called Christians. Really, we should understand this, that we are a fearless church of Christ followers. That was his call to everyone. He says it all through his ministry. In Matthew 10:38, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must follow me. In Matthew 16:24, if anyone wants to be my disciple, he must follow me. He says that in John 10:27, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. He says in John 12:27, that anyone who serves him must follow him. Jesus is still calling us to follow him. If you want to break it down really simply, Lord, lead me, and then get your eyes fixed on Jesus as fast as you can and follow him. Follow his ways, follow his words. And that brings us then to this idea of leading me in your right way. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. He opens his day seeking the Lord to lead him right down the right path, praying and watching. And now we come to this word that's the focus of our day. The word is lead. It literally means to conduct me, to take charge of me. How many of us really, when we pray to the Lord, we say, Lord, here's my day, here's my life, here's my stuff. Take it, lead me. I have no idea where we're going. Like we're on some tour guide. I flashed back to my childhood, which is really easy for me. It's not that big of a jump. My flashback, you remember when you were like 2 years old and you were kind of able to walk, but you really kind of toddled more than anything else? What's the safest way to conduct that two-year-old? Now, back in the 1900s, we didn't have shock absorbency, baby strollers. The most common thing back in the day was to grab a child. If you're in a place, your parents or somebody who's watching you, they grab your chubby little sticky hand because you probably had cotton candy, and they say, hold my hand, we're going through here. Do you ever think about what the world looks like from a two-year-old perspective? How big it must be? Because first of all, you can't walk, you're like, and they're kind of dragging, your parents kind of dragging, you're dragging along. And all the colors and all the size of everything, you've gone back before to a place you grew up and said, I thought this place was bigger. It was bigger back then because you were smaller. Everything seemed so huge. Why would a kid feel okay and secure holding on to dad's or mom's or grandma and grandpa's hand? Here's why. They trust them. And that's the reason that David says, I want you to lead me, Lord, because I trust you. You're not going to lead me in a way of wickedness. You don't delight, he says. Look at this. I'm not making this up. Lord, verse 4, you're not a God who delights in wickedness. I want a leader that's not going to do the wicked thing and lead me down a wicked path. In fact, I believe most of the world's leaders are described here in verses 5 through 7 and 9 and 10. Look at this. You're not a God who delights in wickedness. There's all kinds of leaders who delight in wickedness and lead you down that path. Evil can't dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. Do we live in a day and age where the people who are leaders boast about themselves? Say how great they are? Verse 6, you destroy those who speak lies. We live in a world where leaders lie. He goes on to talk about their lies, that they're bloodthirsty and deceitful men. They deceive all the time. Look, verse 9 and 10. There's no truth in their mouth. The elections are coming. That's all. Who can we trust anymore? Who's going to lead us in the right direction? Who's going to tell the truth? Who can we be sure of doesn't have an evil motive or an ulterior motive or something that's going to make them look good and it's all about them? Let's be honest. We don't know very many people we can really put our hands in their hands and say, lead me. David's contrasting here. He's saying, Lord, I want to be led by you. Look in verse 10. There's an important thing there. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. If you want to follow the counsel and the leadership of this world, guess what the end's going to be? You're going to be lost. You're going to be in the wrong place. It's like getting a friend who says, oh, I know all about this, and they take you down the wrong path. Guys, I want to say this morning, our prayer should be more like this. Lord, I'm not going to listen to the voices of the world. I'm not going to wander around on my own. I trust you alone to get me where you want me to go. So lead me. Lead me, Lord, because I don't want to be with the evil. Verse 4 says it very clearly, the evil may not dwell with you. This is tent talk. Because a lot of times mostly tent dwellers, not city dwellers, the people of Israel. This is actually referring to the hospitality of people. When strangers would come to town, they say, hey, spend the night at my house because we're hospitable. What this verse is really saying is that God doesn't even invite evil into his tent. Evil can't dwell with you. Why? Because you are a righteous God. Let's go to verse 4 again. Verse 8, I'm sorry. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. The Lord is right. His ways are right. His words are right. The direction for your life is right. If you have professed faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you've said to him is, God, you got me clean on the cross by your death, burial, and resurrection. You washed my sins away. So if you can do that, then I can trust you with everything else. You're my Lord. I'll follow you. Why? Because you're always going to do the right thing. This is a faith thing, guys, because often in our human nature, in our human viewpoint, we don't see God doing the right thing for us all the time. because everything doesn't go smoothly all the time. But we say to the Lord, Lord, we're going to follow you because you are always right. And we begin where he's already spoken to us very clearly. When we ask the Lord to lead us, the best place for us to begin with is the written word of God. This is why we preach from the Bible. It's why we pass out free Bibles. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to go to our bookstore or go to our family room when church is over and just say, Mike said you could have a free Bible. Why? Because the leading that God has for our life is written in here. I think a lot of times we pray to the Lord in the morning and say, hey, Lord, lead us. He goes, have you read my book? Because there's a lot of good stuff in there. The way that God wants us to live, the way he wants to direct our lives, God's word leads us. If you really want to pray this prayer, the next thing you should do after you say, Lord, take my morning, take my day, is open your Bible and learn where he's leading all of us. Christian marriage is in the Bible. Family relationships and friendships are in the Bible. Sexuality and marriage definition is in the Word of God. He's leading the right way, not the popular way, not the fun way, not the one that seems fun. He's leading you the right way because, Lord, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. In the Bible is talk about money and power and leadership. In the Bible is how we should talk, what kind of words we should say, and how we should use them. In the Bible is about loving and serving and giving. In the Bible is attitudes and heart motivations. God has already led us so much in the right way. Most importantly, the Word of God answers how loser people like me and you get to go to heaven. That there's a Savior who came and lived among us and died and was buried and rose again. And by faith in him, we get to get that grace. And he's going to take us with him to be in glory someday. That instruction is in the Bible. If you need that leading today, today could be your day to find the way. We ask God to lead us. He says, I think, begin with the Bible. And this means that we can never be led to do something that God's already spoken. As unrighteous or righteous, either one. We can't do something against the Bible. I can tell you in 30 years of ministry, I've had lots of people sit in my office, look me in the eye and say, God is leading me to, and they say something that is clearly a sin in the Bible. And I just have to look at them and say, why do you think God's leading you to do something that he says is not a right thing to do in his word? It's impossible. Those things don't happen. In fact, sometimes we use God is leading me simply as a phrase to justify what we want to do. The Bible won't let you do that. The Bible is very clear. This is the way to do it. So let me just be specific for a couple of things here today. If you're asking God if you should have sex outside of the bounds of marriage, don't ask. He's not leading you there. He's already said that's not the direction you need to go. If you're asking God whether you should accumulate your money and save up stuff here on earth and get rich, don't ask him. He's already said no. That's not what my goal in your life is. That's not the path I want you to take. If you were wondering if he's going to bless your selfish motives or your mistreatment of others or your stealing of money, just listen, just read the Ten Commandments. No, he's not leading you that way. That's not the path he's taking you down. And many times we skip over the Bible asking for God to do something specific and miraculous in our life. Now, to be sure, I think David does indicate here in verse 8 that God does open doors for us. Look at this. Or I should say, he makes paths for us. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Make your way straight. This is asking. This is not David going, hey, God, tell me some new laws that I can follow. David's going, I'm in some kind of battle situation. I've got enemies around me. Lord, tell me, make the path out of here. Tell me which way to go. I'm lost. I don't know how to get out. I'm scared, and I need you to lead me. Now, again, I love this word here. We still have these leading questions for our lives concerning things the Bible doesn't talk specific about. I'll get to that in just a moment. But we have this word, lead me in your righteousness. To make the path straight is literally to make the path smooth. This is a practice in the olden days. You know how an army got from one place to another? They would send a bunch of army men ahead to clear rocks out of the path. This is how the Romans made the roads that they did. There was a whole bunch of soldiers who went ahead to clear the path and make it smooth so they could come and they could lay rocks on top of it. That's a smooth path. That's a level way, the Bible sometimes says. And we have leading questions for our lives. I'm just going to be honest with you as a pastor. There are questions you have for God that are not in the Bible. We have questions for him like, should I marry this person? Should I date this person? Should I transfer with my job to another state or another city? Should I go to this college or that college? Or should I go to college? What job should I take? Should I buy a house? Should I buy a car? There are a lot of questions. Should I talk to this person about the thing that's going on in their life? We have lots of specific questions for God. It happens around the church all the time. I wish that the Lord had all the these and thous for us in every instruction. This is how much the budget should be next year. This is how many services you have, and these are the times you should have them. We have to make all kinds of decisions around here that the Bible doesn't speak specifically to. So what do? We pray. I want you to know that if you hear it from the stage, if I say something to you from the stage, we've already talked to God about it thousands of times. Because we want him to guide us, and we believe that he does guide us. And so I hope that you understand that the elders around here pray, the leadership team on staff prays, the staff prays together. We ask God specific questions. If you went to my prayer room right now in my office, you would see three or four questions I'm just asking God. And I'm expecting he's going to lead me. How's he going to do that? Well, he's going to make a straight way. He's going to open a door. He's going to show me the way. Well, let me show you how that works in Jesus Christ. John 16:13, when Jesus is leaving, he says to his disciples, I'm going to leave you, but when the Spirit of truth comes, listen, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. It's talking about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, you have faith in him as your Lord and Savior, you profess that, and you've taken him publicly as your Lord and Savior, guess what? The Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and he's there to guide you. Now, you got to be careful with this, because a lot of people look for the miraculous all the time. Like, I hear people sometimes, they go, I've woke up at 2:22 the last three mornings. And when you add 2:22 together, that's 6, and that's the first digit of the area code and the place that I'm thinking about moving. I think God's telling me, and you're like, hey, calm down, Sparky, you know? Sometimes I go, maybe, or maybe you have sleep apnea. I don't know if that's an answer to prayer or not. I don't know if that's an open door, you know? Be careful, because we like to look for miraculous stuff. We like to look for wows. We want God to paint it in the sky. In fact, I've actually said that. The first year I was a senior pastor here, a church from Cincinnati called, and they said, hey, we want you to consider being the senior pastor. We just lost our guy. We want you to consider this. I'm like, listen, I just feel called to Eastview. I think God's got a thing going on here, and I love these people. They love me, and I think they love me. Anyway, we've got this thing going on, and God's in it. I just really am not interested. He goes, would you just pray about it for a couple of weeks? And I'm like, okay, I'll pray about it. But here's what I'm praying for. The Lord's got to show me a miracle. Like, he's got to write in the sky, Mike, go to Cincinnati. That's what I'm looking for. If I don't see that, I ain't going. Well, about 4 days later, we were going to Tennessee to see Sarah's parents, and we drove through Cincinnati. And I was kind of driving through the whole time going like this, you know, I don't want to see. No, I literally did. I'm like, okay, this is funny. What if God writes in the sky, go to Cincinnati, Mike? He didn't, thankfully, and so I'm here. I believe that God speaks in those miraculous ways. He often does do something so astounding, so miraculous, but most often, listen to me, most often he doesn't. This is the thing that just blows us, because we read about Abraham and Moses and Elijah and all those guys. We're like, why doesn't God just do miraculous stuff? Why doesn't he just go, Mike, do this? Why doesn't he do that? Well, he doesn't do it all the time for them. I mean, you look at the life of Moses. We go, Moses, he's a miracle dude. Split the Red Sea, hit the rock, gushing water. Moses experienced about 10 miracles in 120 years. The problem is that with the Bible, we see people's highlight reels. We see all the coolest stuff that happened in their spiritual journey, because it's trying to declare Christ's goodness and God's goodness in their lives. Don't expect a constant highlight reel. Often, when you say, Lord, lead me, it's a very slow process. He guides you through. Here's how you can expect God to lead you, as we've learned this morning. Ask God to lead you. Number one, in the morning, God, lead me in this and this and this. I'm not giving you instructions on how I want you to answer my prayers with your power. Lord, do this, do this, do this, do this. You got the power. Make it happen. That's not what I'm talking about. Lord, here's my life. Lead me. And then watch all the time for these straight paths. Sometimes it's miraculous. Sometimes you just go, oh, that seems like it's an open door. Pray, lead, lead, lead. I'm watching. Oh, that opens up. Then ask yourself, is this path biblical? You ask God, lead me, Lord. Watch for smooth paths. okay, it seems like we're going that way. Look in the Bible. Is that path biblical? Am I breaking any rules going down that path? If not, then guess what? This is why we do small groups around here. Ask some other people in your small group, some other sincere Christ followers. What do you think? I'm thinking about going down that path. What do you think? Listen to good Christian people. Don't listen to people who aren't Christians. They'll give you bad advice every time. Tell those people all the time, I believe in counseling. Go to counseling, but go to Christian counseling. Okay, because they'll guide you down the right path that's biblical. And then finally, and this is the funniest thing of all, when you ask God to lead you, he doesn't often just open up the entire path. Sometimes because he wants to work on your faith, he's just saying, I think I'm ready for you to take that one step. He wants to see if you trust him. He wants to see if you go in that direction. And then when you get that step done, he'll go, okay, now watch for what's next. Because it's going to be his timing and his way. It's a wonderfully scary thing to ask God to lead you. But I promise you, you will never regret it. In the person of his son, Jesus Christ, who came and said, follow me, God has said, I want you to ask me for directions. I want to lead you to where you need to go. And finally and quickly, this leads us to the real destination that David desires. I don't know if you picked it up, but look in verse 7. Here's where David wanted to go. I want to enter your house. I want to bow down towards your holy temple. This is why many scholars look at this psalm and go, oh, David must not have been in Jerusalem either yet, or he's been run out of Jerusalem. Remember when his son Absalom came and took over his palace and ran him out with his own army? A lot of scholars look at this and go, it doesn't sound like David is in Jerusalem in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, the house of God, and he's saying, God, lead me back home. Lead me back into your presence. Get me back to where I know that your presence is, and I can pray in your presence, and I can bow down in Jerusalem. And this is really the only leading that matters in our lives, is that we get to the eternal presence of God. And I want you to know the prayer that David prayed, and I believe he had an understanding because he writes in other psalms that someday, even Psalm 23, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. He knew there's an eternal place. We'll be in the presence of God. And my encouragement to us today is that this path is a path of love. If you're wondering whether you should let the Lord just take over and lead you by the hand wherever he wants to go, let me tell you about the path he's going to take you down. It's one of steadfast love. We've looked at that word. Abundance of your steadfast love, verse 7. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to strand you. He's not going to take you down a wrong path. His steadfast love is going to take you down a path that leads you home. It's a path of blessing. So many of us spend our time asking the Lord, Lord, bless me in this, bless me in that. Make this happen. Give me joy. Make everything succeed. Bless me, bless me, bless me. And the Lord's just like, you know what? Just let me lead you. Verse 12 says, for you bless the righteous, O Lord. You bless them. If you follow God, your life's not going to be easy, but it's going to be blessed. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be blessed. And again, like we mentioned last week, look in verse 11, the first part. Let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. The path that you go down, if you let the Lord lead your life, will be a path of rejoicing. You'll have a song to sing, a joyful song. And again, that's one of the things I love about when we come together here on the weekends to worship. I know your lives aren't perfect. I know there's things that have broken your heart this week. There's things that have made you scared this week. There's things you're afraid of this week. I'm telling you, there's only one prayer you need. Jesus, lead me. Because if you let him lead you, it's going to be a song of joy. You can stand here in the hard times and you can sing songs of joy because you know that he's righteous and he's going to get you home. So of all the things that you can ask God of in your prayers this week, make sure that we start practicing this. We don't forget to ask him to lead us. And here's why. Because God is a God who desires to lead us, and never has that been more evident than in the person of his son, Jesus Christ.